Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
I just want to use your
best start to Padres season ever.
Yeah,
I mean that's it. 57 years in franchise history.
I mean, record wise, 56? Obviously that's easy. But in terms of
just all of it, the whole package,
just
the whole
feeling it all,
cake.
And with the news this morning that if you missed it, if you're just joining us for hour number two, right at the beginning of the show, Robert Murray dropping the bombshell that the Padres had agreed to a 9-year, $135 million contract extension with Jackson Merrill. Keep him in a Padres uniform for the next decade. We're getting some more details on the contract right now as well. John Heyman reporting. So he said there was a 10th-year club option that could be converted to a player option. And according to Heyman, the process, how that happens, would be one top five MVP finish. So if Jackson Merrill ever finishes in the top five of MVP voting, what was he last year, about 8th or 9th in the MVP voting in his rookie season, then that becomes a player option, which would mean likely he could opt out if he's having the kind of career that we expect and
what
become a free agent after 9 years.
In 9 years?
Yes.
I'll be almost 60 years old.
You will.
If I even make it that far. But I mean, that's insane to think about. That's how long that kid's going to be here.
So otherwise, if he doesn't have a top five MVP finish, then that would be a club option for that season, and the Padres would have the decision. But either way, Jackson Merrill for the next decade will be wearing Padres pinstripes and manning likely center field. I mean, I don't think they'll move him at this point, but he, you know, there's always the possibility he could go back to shortstop in the future if the Padres think that's best. But I would expect to see Jackson Merrill roaming the expanse of center field at Petco Park now for a very long time.
Wow, man. It's hard to get your head around. It's so cool. It's so, so cool. Yeah, Spoon Clink says, Woods will be walking around wearing a monocle at 60 years old, like Mr. Peanut. What is a monocle for? Just one eye? You just have one bad eye? Or is it read up close?
Yeah, maybe if you don't want, I mean, you
don't want to wear glasses.
One eye can see far away, and then the monocle you can see close at the same. It's like bifocals without bifocals.
Let me see that book real quick. Get one monocle out. That makes it like a magnifying glass for your eye. I like it.
Right.
I think I'd look cool in a monocle.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. Nobody wears them anymore.
Stay on.
I don't know how it stays. Don't you just wedge it in?
Yeah.
You wedge it in
your eye.
Wedge it in
there.
The fat of your eye?
That's not comfortable.
So good.
Not comfortable at all.
So, so, so.
How do we get on these tangents?
I don't know. It's me. I'm sorry.
There's big news. Yep. So, we'll let you know when there's any official reporting and release from the San Diego Padres.
This just blew my mind. Brandon said, Bo, my son, who's 7, will be graduating when Merrill's contract ends. High school. If he makes it that far with his smart mouth. During spring break, if he even makes it to high school and is not roaming at a military university soon. It's crazy, man. Crazy to think about. Very happy for him. Very happy for us. Very happy for the city of San Diego. This is the right move. And I feel pretty confident in saying that. I could see last year, Ben, if you were a Milwaukee Brewers fan and you went, whoa, dude, this cat hasn't even taken a swing in the big leagues yet. I don't know if we should give this guy this much money. We're Milwaukee. We don't do this. Jackson Chourio came out and finished, what, 3rd in the Rookie of the Year voting, had a really good season. He's gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. This one is what you call a no-brainer after what we've gotten to see, not only on the field but off the field, with everything Jackson Merrill has said, everything he's done, the way he plays the game, the way he carries himself, the kind of teammate that he is. This is a no-brainer.
Good question in the chat, because I don't know the answer to it, but Ryan Schimpf Enjoyer, good name, says, does the extension start next year or this year? that's a big deal, obviously. That's an entire year of control. Yeah. I've been assuming that it started this year and that it bought out 4 years of free agency, but that's not necessarily the case. It could not start until next year, which would then mean you've got him for 10 more years, which would truly put you into your 60s by the time that he is that he's done. So, yeah, we'll try to see if we can get the details. So it runs through at least 2034, according to Kevin Acey now in the Union Tribune. So 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Yeah, 10 more years. So it doesn't kick in until next year, according to that reporting, which means also from a competitive balance tax issue, because it doesn't kick in until next year, Jackson will still make the minimum essentially this year and won't cause the Padres to take a massive luxury tax hit yeah. on the contract, which would be prorated all the way to this year at its $15 million level, which means they'd have to pay another $4 or $5 million in luxury taxes if they did it. So that does mean a full 10 years plus that 11th year essentially would be the club or the player option, depending on whether he has a top five MVP finish or not.
Okay.
All right. So again,
did you want me to weigh in on something?
No. We're just waiting on official word from the San Diego Padres and an announcement.
Boy, we kind of made it official, though, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of details, but you know, at some point they will officially announce that probably later this morning.
All right.
Meanwhile, we had the other surprising news yesterday from college basketball. After Magoon Gwath kind of disappointed San Diego State fans by entering the transfer portal and leaving San Diego State after his freshman year, posted on Instagram last night, always a risky thing to do on April Fool's Day, that he
it scared me.
He intends to return to San Diego State now for his sophomore season. He explored the transfer portal, and according to most of the reporting, was getting plenty of interest, including a visit to Kentucky.
Yeah.
And what we've heard is, you know, a big money offer from Kentucky. You know, consider it's going to be at least $1.5 million or more from Kentucky. But after going through that process, Magoon came to the conclusion that, no, he wants to come back to San Diego State next year at what will almost certainly be quite a bit less NIL money. You know, I don't think the Aztecs can even get up to $1 million for one single player in NIL. So why would he do this, Woods? Why would he come back? Well, I mean, my speculation would be that he's comfortable at San Diego State, you know, and while he could make more money, he's worried that his development will be hampered by having to learn a new system with a new coach. You don't know what your playing time situation is going to be, who your teammates are going to be.
Touch is like, well, I could have told you that.
Right. I'm sure he did. But it's always better when the player reaches that conclusion for himself. Then, you know, you don't want to feel like you're strong-arming your guys into staying. Now, Magoon says he will continue, like Miles Byrd, through the draft process, you know, the combine workouts, whatever he's invited to, and could still go the pro route, which is absolutely legitimate as well. But my sense would be that he's got at least one more year of college left in him, and I now expect Magoon Gwath to be wearing an Aztecs uniform next year for his sophomore season, which makes this potentially a special year coming up for San Diego State with Byrd back, Magoon back. They just announced that transfer yesterday.
Yep.
That's going to the 6'9 forward that they picked up. And they had a visit yesterday from the number three assist man in all of college basketball last year, someone potentially to replace Nick Boyd as running the offense if they land him in the transfer portal. So Brian Dutcher putting in the work, as he always does here early in the college basketball offseason, and trying to set up what should be a good San Diego State team for next year.
Well, and you know, yeah, you do need to brace yourself for the fact that Magoon Gwath may get drafted. Now, he may not like where he gets drafted.
He has to decide before the actual draft.
Oh, before the draft.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
they'll tell
him, though, kind of where they think he's going to go, and if it's not high enough, then my guess would be that he comes back to San Diego State for next year.
And by his own words, if I come back to school, I'm coming back to San Diego State. What a nice turnaround. I mean, what a nice, much-needed turnaround.
So he's in the same boat as Miles Byrd now, who has also said, if I come back to school, I am coming back to San Diego State next season.
Yep.
So they get both of those guys back, along with some of the other, you know, younger guys that had a good seasons, Miles Heide, Taj DeGourville, Farrell Compton, they've not entered the transfer portal. I mean, it's not closed yet. You can still change your mind at some point, but seems like San Diego State's going to have a pretty loaded roster of up-and-comers for next season and are in a good spot going into the 2025-2026 campaign.
I like it, buddy. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it feels like college basketball for us has been kind of left by the wayside. And you guys argued that having all number one seeds in the tournament was a good thing, but certainly not driving a ton of discussion here or elsewhere. I mean, yeah, I think people will watch the games and there'll be good matchups, but it doesn't have that same, intrigue factor when you have just, Florida, Auburn, Houston, Duke, all the one seeds going to the Final Four happen.
Yeah.
It's just all expected. It's what we, it's the chalkiest of chalk, and we'll just wait until the games are played on Saturday. But what do we talk about?
I said it when it happened. I asked the question, hey, is your interest still going to be at its peak with San Diego State getting knocked out early, with UCSD getting knocked out early? And I thought to myself, yeah, I don't really have a dog in this fight. I really don't. And, you coincide that with the start of baseball season that I've been salivating for like a rabid dog. Yeah, I've lost interest, 100%. I don't know that I'll watch the games this weekend. I'm more likely to see who the White Sox are taking on. Honestly, I'm just being completely honest with you guys. I don't care enough to watch when there's baseball on, and especially when my team is playing as well as they are. I was out of town for the, I was out of town for the first kind of go-through. Nobody was watching it there. And I just kind of, it lost me after our teams got knocked out.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair, But you don't, the baseball playoffs don't lose you.
Never.
When the Padres get knocked out.
No, never, because I love baseball.
That's true. You're just a more intense baseball fan.
I'm the opposite.
Fan.
I didn't watch. I can't watch, when it was painful as it was last year.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't watch a single inning of the NLCS.
But that doesn't make sense then, because it was so painful. You're an Aztec, and they lost, and you still watch the basketball.
They didn't lose.
They didn't lose like that, but they still lost. But you're still watching all these games.
Yeah, I like college basketball.
See, I like baseball.
I like baseball too, just not.
I had to watch
more than playoff atmosphere.
I have
basketball.
To soak it in, bro. It's the last. It's the last beer at the keg. You got to finish this thing. We're here. We put in the work. It's been a long. We've gotten this keg down to the bottom. I got to get the last scraps out of it before I hit the road in an Uber. But you know what I mean? I got to finish this keg. I have put in this much work and time and effort to watch these games. There's nothing better than playoff baseball, in my opinion, even though March Madness is great if you do have a rooting interest.
I don't know what time the games are on Saturday, because the Padres play at like 11 a.m.
Oh, do they? Yeah, then I may watch some.
I think it's like 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock.
I think every day in Chicago.
Yeah, they're early.
The early starts.
No, the coinciding with the baseball season, really, it's going to be tough to keep me.
All right, so I've got some more details here on the contract extension for Jackson Merrill. We can share those coming up. We also have Don't Do This. Maybe we'll sneak in a DDT story or two.
But I got a good one.
Okay, good. Woods has got a good one. And then we will get confirmation and hopefully word on an official announcement news conference for the Padres, but we will let you know as soon as we hear something. Coming up with Ben and Woods, don't go anywhere. We continue next on 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG 000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
Last day of the homestand today, day game, which means if you're heading down to the ballpark and looking for something to do afterwards, perhaps a quick drive down to 7 Mile Casino may be in order later this afternoon, this evening.
Oh, it's a good idea. Yeah, the early game, head on down. And grab some food, sit down, play some California-style blackjack. There's a lot to do at 7 Mile Casino, no matter what your game is, right? All card games. They got Texas Hold'em, Pai Gow, Baccarat. If you're a high-limit guy, you want high stakes, they can take care of you there as well. It's a smoke-free environment, no slot machines. So get in there, play some cards, have some food. Hit the road.
Yeah, enjoy dinner. Sammy's at 7 Mile has the traditional Sammy's wood-fired pizza menu, the barbecue chicken pizza, The chicken tequila fettuccine, some of San Diego's favorite menu items. But then, you know, late nights, whenever, the 24/7 players menu with items like the Kung Pao chicken, best in town. It's a great, comfortable restaurant and atmosphere as well, connected right there to the card room with an unbelievable patio that looks over on San Diego Bay. So many great reasons to visit 7 Mile Casino. Check it out tonight. Check it out this weekend. Just check it out sometime. Tell them Ben and Woods sent you right there off the 5 in Chula Vista on Bay Boulevard. 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 Fan.
All right, it's time for DDT. It is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust and Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info.
Ben's trying really hard to make that a thing.
I'm going
to
need more enthusiasm.
He's trying so hard.
I'm sorry.
That's right. I'm in a character actor mode right now.
I'm going to get you some more details on Jackson Merrill's contract in the do this portion of the segment, but I will start with another baseball story that I thought was a don't do this. Maybe you will disagree, Woods.
Right, you need to explain this to me I'm five, because I watched a few videos on it.
College baseball is a little different than professional baseball because of the weird travel circumstances. The SEC has a curfew rule on getaway day Sundays because they know the team has to get back to school for, you know, Monday classes. So they don't want the games to go too late on Sundays so they miss their flights. Whatever. So Kentucky is playing at Texas A&M on Sunday this past weekend, and the game started at 1, but according to the SEC, no inning can start after 4:30.
Okay.
So Kentucky's got the lead, 10-5. It's the eighth inning. 4:30 is starting to creep up, but it's not there yet. And in the eighth inning, all of a sudden, the Wildcats with their lead start having problems with their pitch comm, their communication device. They have those in the SEC in college baseball. Now, two outs in the eighth, so they do that for a few minutes, then a mound visit, you know, and they stall on that. They kick their feet around as long as possible, and then
A&M's coach starts losing it,
yeah,
right?
And he's screaming at them, like, let's go, let's go. They want to get up, at least, and have a chance in the ninth inning, but they can't start a ninth inning after 4:30. Well, they ran out the clock long enough that by the time the inning ended, it was 4:31, and the umpires called the game, and Texas A&M wasn't able to take their at-bat in the ninth inning and try to come back and win the game. Not that, I mean, they were down 5. It was unlikely, but certainly college baseball, you see it. 10-run innings all the time. They're not that uncommon. So, yeah, big shouting match between Aggies manager Michael Early and Kentucky manager Nick Mingione. You know, obviously they accused Kentucky of gamesmanship, sure. And I think it was gamesmanship.
I think it was, too, and I'm trying to think how this correlates to the story we did the other day, because I want to make sure that my message is consistent, because I think this is incredibly tired. I do. The other one that happened when they didn't put a guy's name on the roster,
right?
Let him throw one pitch and said, he's ineligible, we'll take the win.
I said, don't do that.
I loved it.
Let him know beforehand, hey, that guy can't pitch, he's not in your roster, but don't let him throw a pitch and then make it an instant forfeit.
It's a great, great display of strategy. And again, they have no one to blame but themselves. Guys, it's a clerical error. I've got my roster, I didn't double check it, and you cost your team a game. This is different to me. This is you're messing with a little bit of the fabric of the game. I know we have a pitch clock in baseball now, but we don't have a game clock. Right? We don't have a game clock in baseball, and I love that. And pitch clock be damned, Ben. If the Padres and the Guardians start their game at 1 o'clock today and they go to 19 innings, guess what? They go to 19 innings, even though they have a getaway day. I know it's different rules for college. I know it is.
It's just that conference, too, right?
Is it just that conference that has that?
Does every conference have a rule?
I don't know if any other conferences do.
I've never heard of a rule like that.
But I understand why it's in there. However,
I hate that the essence of baseball
is you can't ever run out the clock.
Correct.
In a baseball
game. In this case, they did. And again, whose fault it is, actually? It's on the umpires. The umpires have to be savvy enough to know. Bro, they'll get us in our league. Hey, let's go. In and out. In and out. Like, you got to keep this thing moving, dude.
Or at least give them the authority to say, hey, you can stall all you want, but if we don't. Like in soccer, we'll just add a little extra time to the curfew, a minute or two. We can override the curfew rule if we think you're trying to skate it and get around it. There has to be some sort of way that teams can't just stall the clock to get to the end of the game. What, are you going to fake injuries now? It's 4:15, but the guy drops dead. It's a 3-2 game. It's 4:15. The conference title is on the line, and all of a sudden the second baseman drops dead. I'm having a heart attack out on the field. Call out the EMTs 15 minutes later.
Game's over.
I'm fine. It's okay. I feel better now. Game's over. I mean, you can't. I know that's an extreme example, but obviously there needs to be some sort of refinement of these SEC curfew rules.
Yeah, no doubt. And I really do. I put a lot of it on the umpires. They know exactly what's going on, for sure.
Yeah.
Blitz?
My turn? All right. I got to ask what Major League Baseball is doing. So, yesterday, to no surprise, you're going to see Major League Baseball, the official Twitter or X account of Major League Baseball, Ben, send out. Well, I mean, are you surprised that it was a hype video of Shohei Ohtani? New Shohei Ohtani hype video just dropped. So if you click on
it, that album finally comes, it better be good.
For real. So it's a 19-second video of him putting on his batting gloves, just getting all hyped up. But everyone that saw it started to notice something on the screen. And you reached up and tried to wipe it off the screen. It's a
short, curly hair.
It's a
hair.
Pubic hair.
Well, I mean,
it's a pube.
Could be just a regular hair. I mean, people
Why?
Have curly hairs on their head as well.
That's a pube, dude.
It's curly hair.
That's a pube. What? Why Major League Baseball? Why? But why a pube? Why not anything else?
Did you try to wipe it off?
Yes.
Then they got you.
Yes. They got. I know that they got me. But don't you think that's a little weird? Hey, I got an idea. Let's do something.
So it was definitely intentional.
Yes. Let's do something that we know people are going to see and probably, you know, get mad about, unless you're a Dodger fan, because everyone's tired. They send 50 tweets a day about it, but they put a pube in it. It's a bit risque, no?
Trying to wipe it off.
Yeah, here. Keep trying to wipe it off. It doesn't go anywhere.
Could be an eyelash.
It's the longest eyelash on the planet. I saw. Look, guys, I know it's an April Fool's joke. I know it was. But why would you go with a pube? Why wouldn't you go with something else? Look at it.
What else? What else could you put on there? Like a fly?
And a fly is brilliant. A spider. A little gnat. Something. Why a pube? Of all things to do. Why even put something that could be misconstrued as a pube? How about that?
You just stop saying it. I think people in the chat are starting to get a little uncomfortable.
What? That's what it's called.
D, just making sure Adam's not running down the hall right
D
now.
D said, the hair on my head looks like pubic hair, bro. Don't be so prejudgmental. Like Ben said, make it a fly, not a pube. You don't have to put pubes on there. You just do flies, bugs. The comments that I saw, I can't even read on the air. Because you can get the gist of why they would be posting that on a video of Shohei Ohtani, who they post everything about him. This dude stole a base the other night, and they're like, oh my God, look at the jump he got. I think it's a bit at this point. I think they're like, hey, let's see how, because they get more engagement on it when people complain that they're always just glazing the Dodgers. So it's actually a pretty smart move to do, but you do get tired of
seeing it. Let's drive 29 of our fan bases insane.
Yeah.
Really, really great
smart
bit.
Marketing. Yeah, great bit. But I mean, I'm not joking.
It's the bad part of the social media age that we're in.
For sure.
I promise you, if social media was around in the 90s, Michael Jordan would be posted 25 times a day by @NBA. We see it. How tired are you of Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce?
Yeah.
Like
you just stick with what
sucks.
Works, right?
You got to stick to the highest, you know, the highest attraction of a superstar that you have.
I mean, these fools are out here posting, you know, here's Roky Sasaki's first inning strikeout. It's like, hey, man, Roky Sasaki's already pitched in the big leagues. He made his debut. You know, here's his strikeout. And it just, you know, whatever. But then you... Hope that doesn't come back to bite us. But you throw a pube up there, you change the whole story.
All right, finally, how about some doo-doo this?
D.D. Mega doo-doo.
Doo-doo this breaking news story this morning. The Padres announcing a nine-year, well, not announcing yet, but should be announcing soon, a nine-year contract extension for Jackson Merrill. We have some new details, courtesy of Kevin Acey of the Union Tribune. Woods, you ready?
I'm ready.
Contract has no opt-outs. Includes a team option for 2035 that starts at $21 million. The option can switch to be Merrill's choice if he finishes in the top five in MVP voting in any year of the contract. Additionally, the annual salaries beginning in 2030 increased by $1 million for every year Merrill gets 500 plate appearances and $1 million for every year he finishes in the top 10 in MVP voting, which means the contract could be worth as much as $204 million and could rightly be considered a 10-year, $165 million deal if Merrill stays healthy. The Merrill deal is the second largest contract given out since John, or the second large contract given out since John took over as team chairman, along with a four-year, $55 million contract starting pitcher Nick Pivetta signed in February. So
no opt-outs.
No opt-outs for
Jackson. I would
have expected
an opt-out every year.
No opt-outs. It can go
crazy,
up.
Man.
So it goes up pretty
refreshing.
Much automatically as long as he stays healthy, and goes up by $2 million if he is good and finishes in the top 10 of MVP voting.
Yep.
Which you would think that he will probably do at least a few times over the next few years. So those are some of the details that are coming out of the contract for Jackson Merrill this morning. And that is Don't and Do This for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so we will continue to monitor our channels on official news from the San Diego Padres. We'll talk more about the Padres 6-0 start and still somewhat overshadowed, at least baseball-wise, by Shohei's Dodgers, who are now 7-0 on the season as they won again yesterday, but certainly making shaping up to be an incredible NL West this year so far. Get to all of that coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, man, I told you guys yesterday, went to the gym working out with my trainer, Brent, and he said, hey, I want to try to lift a little bit heavier today. In fact, I want you to lift heavier than you ever have on this certain exercise. And I said, all right, I'll give it a go. And I did it. And I was very proud of myself, but I couldn't help but think there's no chance I could have lifted even 5 pounds. It's a couple of years ago when I was in here with the pain in my wrists. Now I did it yesterday, did a bunch of reps with it, and woke up zero pain. It feels incredible. That's all 100% thanks to QC Kinetics. They changed my life completely. Playing baseball again, loving that. Playing guitar again, minus one string, loving that as well. Having a ball, doing all the things that I feel like I was always meant to do and that I wasn't able to do for a long time. It was really quite depressing. So if that's you, if you're feeling like that right now, you're missing out on weekends with the boys, playing baseball or golf or surfing with your buddies or jogging or riding your bike, whatever it is, because of the debilitating joint pain in your knees, hips, shoulders, back, or other joints, call QC Kinetics today. Free consultation, cost you nothing. 619-614-PAIN. The number 619-614-PAIN. Two locations, one in Torrey Hills, one in Hillcrest. Call them today. 619-614-PAIN. Stop living with chronic joint pain. All right, 619-614-PAIN. Let them know Woodsy sent you. Pretty major shout out to his family right now for the great, legendary Val Kilmer, who passed away yesterday at the age of 65. Not an April Fool's joke. Saw this come down last night. Was instantly just heartbroken. Definitely a my generation kind of guy. Mine and Benny's for sure. But he spanned decades of some just my favorite movies. I mean, not the biggest roles in all of them, but he was in so many of my favorite movies. And when he got a role, that dude took it, and he lived it, and he ran with it. I actually heard not the best guy to work with because remember the movie Tombstone?
Mm-hmm.
And you remember Johnny Ringo. I believe that actor's name is Michael, I think it's Bean, B-I-E-H-N-E. Let's call him Michael Bean for now. Bane. And They said, so what was it like working with Val Kilmer? He goes, I don't know. I never met Val Kilmer. I met Doc Holliday. Said that's who he was the entire film. It was never like, hey, how you doing, buddy? All right, let's get in this scene. You go here, I'll go here. He never broke character. Obviously, Benny, like, we grew up with Val Kilmer. The first movie I ever saw him in was a movie called Top Secret, which was hysterical. It was like a parody. And then he was in Real Genius, which I absolutely loved.
So that was one of my favorites.
Mine too.
Growing up, I watched Real Genius like 30 times. And lo and behold, I found out. So when I went to college at Pomona College, I lived in the dorm that they filmed Real Genius in.
Did it still have the trap door and everything that they had?
That was a movie
roller coaster.
Set, but you can see there's a staircase.
Yeah.
Remember the staircase?
Yep.
I lived at the top of that staircase.
Didn't they ice that staircase?
They did.
Yes.
They did. I lived at the top of that staircase.
Crazy.
It's the Mud Blaisdell dorm on the south campus of Pomona College. It was the fictional university in Real Genius where that you know supposedly took place. Pacific Tech University, I think they called it. And I love that movie. And I didn't even know when I like applied to college and ended up going there. And I ended up living right at the top of that staircase in the movie Real Genius. It was a really cool room. It was the only, there was two rooms up there. It was four. So it was two bedrooms. So me and my roommate and two of our friends were on the other, and there was a bathroom connecting in the middle for all of us. But there was no one else on that floor. It was just us at the top of that staircase.
So great.
In the movie. And I thought that was really cool. I got to live in the real genius dorm.
I loved that movie when I was a kid. He was so good in it.
Tombstone was incredible to me. Born in 1990, a little bit younger than you guys. He is always Iceman.
Yeah, well, so that was kind of after Real Genius. The funny thing about that role, he had zero desire to play Iceman. None. Was actually going to go shoot a very arty movie with like Brian De Palma or something in another foreign part of the world. But Tony Scott, the director, was like in love with him. Like, obsessed with him. We have to get you for this film. You know how much total screen time Iceman has in the movie Top Gun? 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And he steals that movie.
It's funny because he does such a great job. He's kind of the villain, like, in the movie, but he's not.
But he's not. He's not a villain.
He's not a villain.
He's not flying a MiG.
He's not a villain at all.
You never meet the villains,
the people who fly in the MiGs. He's on, you know, Maverick's team eventually. And, of course, at the end, they share the moment, but he's the guy
saves his life.
He's the guy that you kind of rooting against somehow in the beginning because they have the competition at Top Gun. But he pulls it off so well as to both be likable yet also the villain of the movie. It was just well done.
So after Top Gun, you know, my favorite when I started to discover music on my own, well, not my own. My dad turned me on to the Doors, and nobody else my age was listening to the Doors really, not that I knew of. And I fell in love with The Doors and Jim Morrison and the whole thing. And then The Doors movie comes out. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sang all the music. That's pretty incredible. It sounds really good.
It's really, really good. It had the mannerisms down. Had the face, the hair, the whole thing. I remember sneaking into the movie theater to see that. Buying a ticket for something else and going in with a couple of my buddies to sit and watch the magnum opus of Oliver Stone and Val Kilmer. I just fell in love with it. And he was so good. I even liked that Lion movie he did with Michael Douglas years down the road. I can't remember the name of it, but it was really, really good. Then he played John Holmes, legendary adult film star John Holmes in the movie Wonderland. If you haven't seen Wonderland, put it on in your queue today and watch it. His performance is brilliant, and it is a
Boogie Nights-esque,
but with a lot more edge. A lot more edge than Boogie Nights.
I haven't seen Wonderland.
All right, I'm going to watch the movie, listen to the Wonderland podcast, all of it, Paulie. You will be obsessed with it. Another little under-the-radar movie called The Salt and Sea, where he plays like a meth dealer. He was brilliant in that. The Saint. I love The Saint. Plays a spy that's he has all these different get-ups and outfits, and he's kind of corny, but Ghost in the Darkness. That was the one with the lion. I loved that.
Okay. Not The Island of Dr. Moreau.
No. But then came the banger of all bangers, Heat. My favorite movie of all time. Plays Chris Chehalis, Ashley Judd's husband. He was incredible in it. Incredible. So when this news broke last night, I sat there and I went through his Wikipedia. I mean, there's dozens of others. I mean, Batman. He was in Batman.
Yeah.
Played Elvis in True Romance. Tombstone. He's Doc Holliday. Like, what a career for Val Kilmer. I felt yesterday like a piece of my youth died. When it happened, people die all the time. It sucks. You know, you're like, oh, man, I really liked his music or his art or whatever. But with Val, who was cooler than that guy? Like, everyone loved Tom Cruise when I was a kid. I thought Val Kilmer was the coolest. I thought Iceman was the baddest MF
I did as
town.
A kid. Like, when I first watched Top Gun, the haircut, like, that slick back, the blonde hair, bro, with the shades, I'm like, he looks cool.
He just commanded the room when he walked in. Yeah. I was like, that's the guy.
That's a badass.
That is a bad, bad dude. So I don't know him. I will miss him, man. I really will. And we'll go back to many of those films that I just named. I'll go back to those for the rest of my life. I'll watch Tombstone. I will watch Heat. I will watch Real Genius. I will watch The Salt and Sea. I'll watch The Doors. All of it.
Well, and how much more does the sequel now to Top Gun mean?
Yeah,
those scenes that him and Tom Cruise had.
When he was hit even harder when you rewatch it.
He was clearly ill.
Two tracheotomies, you know, chemo, and he still went through the role. They had to augment his voice, I think, with like AI because he really couldn't speak at that point. But yeah, that's going to hit even harder next time I watch Top Gun Maverick.
It was so sad, man. It really was when you saw that. But it was also very cool that they were able to do that. But, oh, Paul, you were an Entourage guy.
Yeah.
Do you remember Val Kilmer in Entourage?
No.
He played Val Kilmer. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he played Val Kilmer, who lived next door to them. He grew pot and stuff, and they would hang out with him.
Yeah.
He played this really, really kooky. I think it was season one.
Yeah.
This, like, I think he played a kooky version of himself. And they're like, oh, my God, that's Val Kilmer. And he's like, come on inside, boys. And he's all, like, Middle Eastern vibes and weed and everything else. He was so, so, so good, man.
So Paulie, in Ben and Wood's tradition, if you would, the full treatment.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
Rest in peace.
Iceman.
In power. Mm-hmm. Iceman, Johnny Wadd, Jim Morrison. Ken nailed it here. Watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. What an underrated. I think he produced it or directed that as well, but it's he and Robert Downey Jr. He's incredible, man. He was incredible. And they did a documentary about him, Lag 21, I think, and it's called Val. And I can't bring myself to watch it because I knew he was sick and I knew what it was about. And I was like, I don't want to watch him in pain and suffering.
Honestly, the sequel was tough enough. The talk
was
sequel.
It was tough enough.
And how
man.
He was like using the iPad or whatever to communicate with Tom Cruise and just knowing what he was going through in real life and how they mix that into the character of Iceman and how much he cared for Maverick.
It was rad, dude.
I can't say enough. I will forever be like just floored by how good that sequel was and how bad we thought it would be.
Correct.
And you're like, that was one of the best movies I've ever seen.
It was really good. Steve just says, check out his autobiography called I'm Your Huckleberry. You'll dig it. I will absolutely read that. I'm collecting books for my cross-world flight in July. So I will pick that up today. I'm Your Huckleberry. I've just always loved him, dude. Adam says, talk about all the issues he caused on the set of The Island of Dr. Moreau. Yeah, he and Marlon Brando got into it. He and Tom Sizemore got into it on a movie called Red Planet. He was not easy. He was not an easy guy to work with. And then, you know, a couple people came out and said, listen, everybody has their different...
A lot of the greats weren't easy to work with.
Yeah, like Ben. I mean, Ben is not easy to work with.
Example A.
Example A, 1A. You know, but you put up with it because he's genius. So you wear it a little bit, but...
I have my process.
Yeah, you do have your process.
Yeah.
You do. But no, it's... It was sad, dude. I was really released. This one got me yesterday when I saw it, because I just love the guys... All his art through his whole life. He really, I like somebody that commits. And he committed. He committed hard to these roles. Doc Holliday, did anybody believe that he didn't actually have tuberculosis when he did that role? Because I've never seen anybody look more like they had tuberculosis than that dude. Lunger. All right, Lunger. I mean, it was so good. So anyway, man, I'll miss Val Kilmer terribly.
All right, my process is telling me that we need to check traffic, and then we can get back to a little baseball talk. The NL West, very competitive through this first week of the season that's coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Let's talk about the most overlooked team in baseball through the first, you know, 5-6 days of the season. The San Francisco Giants, possibly. They are 4-1 now a 3-1 win. Beat the Astros again yesterday. Logan Webb, 7 innings, 1 earned run. Dodgers at 7-0 and the Padres in 6-0. The Giants are getting, like, no attention. Even the Diamondbacks, who are behind them, they have Eugenio Suarez, who has 5 home runs. Eugenio Suarez has as many home runs as the San Diego Padres do. Padres are 6-0, and they have the same number of home runs as Eugenio Suarez does, who had a grand slam yesterday as they knocked the Yankees from the ranks of the unbeaten with a 7-5 win. But the Giants are off to they have to be thrilled with the start that their team has gotten off to this season, and they're going, we got two teams that are undefeated in our division that are ahead of us. We're going like, oh, the Padres are finally 6-0 for the first time in franchise history, and they're still in second place to the Dodgers. The Giants are going, we're 4-1. We'd be in first place pretty much anywhere else in baseball,
anywhere else.
And we're at a distant third right now in our division in the NL West.
What are the Diamondbacks at? I know they beat the Yankees yesterday.
They are 4-2, I believe. 4-2.
We knew this. We called this. Everybody did. It's a really talented division. I can't.
The top four teams are 20-3 in the NL West so far this year.
That is bananas, man. That is bananas. And two of those teams are undefeated.
Yes. So, we said it was going to be a really good division. I didn't exactly foresee it was going to be this good. The Dodgers, of course, it's 7-0. It's the best start ever for a reigning World Series champion. It's their best start since they moved to Los Angeles from Brooklyn. They've never been 7-0 in LA. So, you know, teams don't get off to starts like this. Do you guys know the all-time record, I believe? 13-0.
To
start the season.
By whom?
Is the record. Oh, I want to say the Orioles, maybe?
They had the
all-time record.
I thought they had the record of losses to start a season.
Best start to a baseball season. I heard Chris Ella talking about this yesterday. I feel like he said it was 13-0. 13 games. The Rays just recently tied the streak. I forgot about that. 2 years ago when they started 13-0. But what's the modern era record? Longest opening win streaks to start the season. The Rays. This is a very bad list. I don't know why that's so confusing looking. But the Rays went 13-0 a couple years ago. But it doesn't tell me who they tied the record of. So anyway, we're still quite a ways away from that. But, the Dodgers keep winning. Dustin May back on the mound with 5 innings, 1 unearned run, 1 hit, 6 strikeouts. He's what, starter number 6 or 7 for them in their rotation. Mookie has 3 go-ahead home runs this season already. Hit a 2-run go-ahead shot when they were down 1-0 in the 6th.
Check your email.
Check my email. Is it official?
It is official.
All right. We have the official word from the San Diego Padres. Jackson Merrill signed to a 9-year contract extension through the 2024 season.
2034,
thank you. That was in the past. And with that, I believe there is also a separate announcement that there will be a news conference later this morning that we will carry live here on 97.3 The Fan. I believe the plans are for 9:30 this morning, that we will go live to Petco Park to hear from Jackson Merrill and A.J. Preller and whoever else that they have lined up for us to officially introduce a long-term member of the San Diego Padres, Jackson Merrill, cornerstone player. Here's a quote from A.J. Preller in the press release. As an entire organization, we are excited to make this long-term commitment to Jackson. From the day we signed him, Jackson has embodied everything we look for in cornerstone players. A dynamic two-way skill set, a commitment to off-field excellence, and a mentality centered on winning and bringing his teammates with him. With Jackson joining our core for years to come, today marks another important step in our journey toward our first World Series championship. A.J. Preller.
God, that's good, man. What great news this morning. I'm riding high. Everyone should be riding high right now.
Very happy.
Very happy, too. Good kid. Happy for his parents. Would love to pick their brain. on, you know, some time to figure out how do you raise that kid? How does that happen?
He almost made me mad yesterday. I watched a little bit of the post game right after the game ended, getting tired, falling asleep, and he's doing his on field with Pomeranz and Mariluz. I don't know. She asked him something like, what's it like in that clubhouse right now? How are the vibes with how well this team's playing? And he's just like, it's the right answer. It's the robotic. We're having a good time, but I'm just here to win games and do my best for this city. And I'm like, show a little bit more. Like, be a 21-year-old. You were built in a lab as a perfect baseball specimen.
I don't think he needs to change one single solitary thing. He's perfect right now. He's perfect.
Sammy Levitt,
he's ours.
I believe is on his way down to Petco Park. We'll have some one-on-one flagship station interviews for you again later this morning. Don't go anywhere. Our coverage of the Jackson Merrill contract extension continues here on the home of the Padres. More Ben and Woods next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.